Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
This is the official Caps Chirp podcast, proudly a part of the Hockey Podcast Network. Every team, everywhere. What's going on, Caps fans? It's me, the Hockey Troll, and I'm here with that snack, Poly Cupcakes.
What's going on?
Caps fans, we've got an incredible episode for you. Thanks for tuning in. I hope you liked the last week's episodes of kind of a backup vibe, as we were kind of out of town, but a lot has happened since then. The Colorado Avalanche have won Lord Stanley's Cup. Paulie, I'm sure you're pretty happy about that.
I am very, very happy.
Good for you. We'll be diving right into that. We'll talk about all the action that's happened league-wide with head coaches, player transactions, and all sorts of other stuff. As we get going. So why don't we pop some tabs and get right into it? What do you think, Paulie?
Let's do it.
1, 2, 3.
All right. So, Caps fans, we do have somewhat of a sad announcement. Paulie, why don't you tell our adoring fans what that is?
Well, I will be leaving Caps Chirp. This is my final week. Today and Thursday. So, you know, you're going to go on listening to Hockey Troll without snack time.
It's pretty brutal, man. You know, while we will miss you, you know, you're not going on to another podcast. Nobody has stolen you from the show. It's just you're taking a step away, correct?
Correct. You know, you were my one and done.
Brutal. Well, you know, Thursday, we're just going to have a snack time Poly Cupcakes appreciation sesh. So, and you know, beyond that and beyond this week, we're going to shut things down. I need to either find a co-host or start lining up fucking interviews, because God knows you guys don't want to listen to me just ramble on incoherently into the mic. So stand by for that. But we will leave you with a couple good episodes this week. Hope to see you back after we return.
Yeah. Keep listening. You know, we know Hockey Troll makes this podcast anyway.
Farewell, Paulie. Farewell. All right, let's get right into some league news here, and we'll start out with the Stanley Cup. The Colorado Avalanche did win, Paulie. How jacked were your tits?
Oh, they were just spewing with excitement. I had a trip to Florida that I went on, and it just so happened that I was in Orlando for games 4, 5, and 6. And my original thought was I was going to go visit my buddy down there and maybe go to a game at Amalie Arena. But that didn't happen because there were two car payments. So,
yeah.
And then I did find sort of reasonably priced, but for game six, but still it was almost 400, so that was not really completely reasonable as a person.
It's just money, I mean, dude.
Yeah, true. but so, you know, game four, I watched in a bar in Orlando, and we weren't making friends, really.
Because you're in your Avs shit. Right?
Yeah, I was wearing a jersey, my Wah jersey.
Nice.
There were actually some dudes from Nebraska there.
Okay.
And they were wearing Ranger shit, so they what did the love us.
Yeah.
But aside from them, we were getting stared at. So after the second period, I was like, dude, let's go back to your apartment. We're having a few beers. We're getting loud. And honestly, I was glad to be at home for the way that one ended, because we may have gotten beat up. And then game five, we went to the Tampa Bay Rays baseball game where they had a walk-off win against the Pirates. And we stood underneath the Jumbotron because the walkway has like a shelf you can just stand at, or like a counter.
Yeah.
So we just watched from right field, and I wore my Avs jersey again, and I made even more not friends in the game. Most of the people were pretty cool once they gave me some shit. And, right. You know, it was mostly friendly. And then game six, my buddy had a beer league game, and so I watched it alone in his apartment. And I kind of liked that because I could just have completely raw emotions, uninterrupted, you know, not having... Yeah, I don't know. It was just kind of nice to just, like, yell and scream at the TV by myself.
Fair enough. Yeah, and you were in a glass case of emotions there.
I was.
Just alone in the apartment.
I had quite a few drinks, and it didn't even touch my nerves.
Yeah. Well, congratulations to the somewhat underperforming Colorado Avalanche. I mean, Jesus fucking Christ. This team should have got it done. And, you know, it's very Caps-esque, except, dude, I really don't think the Washington Capitals had a team this stacked when it came down to it. Like, I don't think that we've seen a team this fucking good in a really long time. I mean, you know, maybe one of the Blackhawks teams.
Yeah. I mean, they are pretty dominant. I mean,
yeah. And you look at the depth, like, just up and down the lineup.
Yeah. I mean, they had quite a few guys scratched that... I think any team would love to have. Like, Curtis McDermott, he might be a second liner on or a second pair D-man on another team.
Right.
Obey Cabell, there were quite a few games he was scratched. I think he would be, I mean, top nine, maybe top six on another team.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, the depth is wild. Honestly, I think their biggest question mark was a net, and...
Which is crazy when you have Kemper and Frankie.
Yeah. And, you know, aside from the one bad game by Kemper, I think he played a pretty good finals, and he stood toe-to-toe with Vasilevskiy.
Right. And to bury the lead a little bit, Cale Makar did end up winning the Conn Smythe. I don't think that there's a more deserving guy.
Yeah, he had like 26 points or something.
From the fucking blue line.
Yeah. And how many games did they play? 8 plus... 20 games.
Wild.
Yeah. Crazy. That is insane.
So, you know, I mean, you look at this playoff, and I think that this is how it would have been written from anyone who had just seen the original 16. Like, if you just went based on roster strength alone, it seemed like it really fell into place here.
Yeah, I mean... You know, some people might say you want one versus one, but when you look a little deeper, on paper, these are the teams that should have been there.
Yeah, exactly. And then I can't think of a final that ever had this matchup marquee. I mean, the headline matchup was the final this year. You know, I think, the two best teams to go at it.
Yeah, I mean, how often do we say, you know, this or that team won the Stanley Cup in the second round?
Yeah. Right. And this time it took all the way to the end. I will say the Tampa Bay Lightning had a much harder road to hoe, I think.
But, I think that he did.
But, you know, I mean, what's that mean? You know, nothing, right? I mean, you still got to win. And
yeah. They didn't. I mean, you know, some would argue that's, you know, that's what you get for not finishing higher up. You know, like the right. Avalanche earned the easier path.
Right, and so you look at all of the... I'm sure that anybody, all the staunch defenders of the playoff format in the league office are probably just fucking just breaking their arms, jerking themselves off about how this was the right way to do it and that you shouldn't reseed and all this other shit every round. So,
you know, I'm not a huge fan of the reseed. I like 1 versus 8.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the straight up regular bracket without right. the reseed.
And that's what they did this year, didn't they?
Well, it's not the top. It's not like in order of points. You have the division winners in their spots.
I see what you're saying. Right. Okay. You mean based on points, you like the 1 through 8,
yeah.
Not the divisional kind of matchup. But the divisional matchup kind of did. It worked out.
It did.
I think that there was only, if you look back, maybe like one team that would have switched. And that would have been like a wild card spot to a third division place.
Yeah.
And maybe, well, no, now that I think of it, I see what you're saying. You want, like, you would have thought that, like, the Avs would have had 1, and then it would have been Tampa 2. Or, I'm sorry.
Well, no, like so, say in the East, if, mm-hmm. Say Toronto had more points than Carolina, they'd be number 2. Instead of Carolina automatically be number 2 because they won their division.
Gotcha. Time takes away the incentive to win your division.
I guess.
But I guess it's not really, it's kind of a moot point. I get what you're saying. Yeah. But in any case, this is how it's been since they reorged. They added, they realigned the league and the Metropolitan Division, basically.
Yeah.
So, and then other than weird COVID bubble shit with the bubble tournament, this is basically how it's always been. So,
I mean, playoffs are the playoffs. The best team's going to get there.
Yeah.
But I guess really the biggest issue is when do they face their hardest matchup?
Right, exactly. And it just so happened.
Go ahead.
Well, it just so happened that this was in the finals, as you would think it should be.
Yeah. Each team played their hardest series last.
Yeah, exactly. And what a fucking series it was. Honestly, man, like, I was really upset that it didn't go 7. This is probably the first time in a while, because I was, like, out of town, that I didn't get to watch, like, the cup presentation and all that stuff. I didn't get to watch the last game at all. So I actually found out, like, the next morning, which sucked. but yeah, I mean, I would have loved another game of this. It was just so good, back and forth.
Yeah, I mean, when you don't really have a dog in the fight, I agree with you. But
right.
As an Avalanche fan, when they were up 3-1 and lost game 5, I was like, oh my god, they're 1 game away from it coming down to 1 when they could have wrapped this up.
Yeah, yeah. So let's go through that. On Wednesday, the 22nd, the Avs ended up taking the second half of the Tampa Bay homestand in overtime, a 3-2 Avs win. I mean, I think that Kadri goal is going to stand out as, like, that's forever etched in Avalanche history at this point, don't you?
Yeah, and I think it's going to be on a lot of, like, Stanley Cup promo videos in the future. Yeah. I think it's going to be one of those iconic goals.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, you look at, and I almost feel bad for Tampa Bay here, because they had the game somewhat in hand. You know, they're up by 1. And then late in the game, the Avs got an incredibly lucky bounce off Cogliano, off his, like, knee, to tie it up. And then Kadri, you know, after deflating the team, going through the intermission, and then Kadri comes in for the insane OT winner. Forget who he was matched up against, but he draws the defenseman. He goes outside, and then just the most, I mean, slick one move from backhand to forehand and goes through Vasilevsky's like seven hole there and roofs it into the net. Pretty crazy for Tampa. Cirelli and Hedman scored, so their guys showed up, but they couldn't get it done.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was an instance where one team played great and the other team was just better.
Yeah, right. I think that was really the indication, other than the two blowouts, which were also fun to watch each way. That's exactly what that would sum up the entire series.
Yeah, you know, on that goal, like I said, we had gone home for the third period, so watching at my buddy's house, and the play happens, and I'm like,
yeah,
what happened? That looked like it had gone in, or is it over the net, and no right. one sees it? And I was like, come on, how did that not go in? And then they started celebrating, and I was just like,
I didn't think that puck went in until it crossed the fucking line. Like, I was like, no way. I'm like, so you see the play develop, and you see Kadri charging in with a ton of real estate in front of him coming into the Tampa Bay zone. And then he goes wide, and you're like, okay, this play's over, but wait a minute. And then you see the defenseman kind of start to lunge, and then that's always a bad sign. Then you see, like, whoa, fuck, Kadri's got wheels, comes in, drags the puck over, and lets it go, and you're like, that, I don't know how that wouldn't have been a goal, but I guess it isn't in. And then they had to, you know, they stopped play and reviewed it, and it was ended up being stuck behind the back bar.
Yeah, I mean, ew. One of the Avs came over and was like, it's in. And right. Wes McCauley is like, I think it was him.
Yeah, just
he's just like looking at the net like, huh?
Right.
That's two crazy, confusing goals the Avs have had, because Berkey put one that went through the net in the first round.
Talk about big dick energy. You right. fucking rip a hole through the net. You're the man.
Yeah.
So, Karen, congratulations to Burakovsky. Also, you know, side note, second cup. Love to see that kid succeed. I'm sorry. And then, you know, of course, you have all this, like, where was that in D.C. People and sentiment. But, you know, these situations, I mean, are so hard to get to. And it's like, who's going to do what? And Burakovsky's done nothing but thrive in Colorado.
Well, even in Colorado, yeah. There's been times where Jared Bednar has been like, we need more out of him.
Right.
You know, he's had times where he wasn't finding the net. You know, Griffin from the Tell It As It Is podcast on the Hockey Podcast Network. I remember he tweeted something like, Berkey needs to shoot the puck. He needs to realize that he has one of the best shots in the league and just let it go.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a sentiment that we've been with very... We know that feeling all too well.
Yeah.
In any case, his team got it done. Good for him. You know, and it's not like this guy hasn't paid his fucking dues, right? Like, yeah. I mean, paid his dues on the Caps, had a great playoff, won, gets traded, is a contributor instantly with the Avs, and then, you know, works through his own shit, and then again wins again. So, you know... As far as long-term career for Andrei Burakovsky, I think that he's got plenty of runway left to go. And we wish him the best, honestly.
Absolutely. So should we talk about what everyone was talking about?
Yeah, so at the end of this game, there was a big controversy, which, I'll be honest, I didn't think there was much there to be bitching about. But too many men gate. There were six players on the ice for the Colorado Avalanche as play was turning around. You know, but this play, like, that change, I don't know. I mean, I don't think it really, it wasn't like, and correct if I'm wrong, but the guy coming off the bench didn't even touch the puck in that sequence, did he?
No. He was, like, literally standing on the ice getting ready to hop the boards.
Right. But the guy that came off the boards, did he start the puck up?
I don't think so.
I don't think anybody involved in this too many men gate were involved in the play, didn't touch the puck, like didn't impede progress for the other team. So, you know, I respect the hell out of John Cooper. I think he's done an incredible job in Tampa Bay. And, you know, also management in Tampa Bay has really shown a lot of faith in him. I'm going to be the last guy to say that, like, a coach throwing dig, like, that I don't want to see a coach challenge the NHL, challenge reffing, start finding any excuse. I mean, what's the alternative for John Cooper here? The dry, yeah, they were better than us in this game. Do you really want to hear that, folks? No. I want to see Tortorella. I want every coach in the NHL to be Tortorella-esque and just be like, fuck the NHL, these motherfucking refs, these, and then if you can take digs on the Penguins, you know, that's even better.
Yeah,
so, I think it was, a little gamesmanship, because it's a tough loss. You know, this is definitely the swing of the series, this game. It going to overtime, and then one kind of, jailbreak play that typically wouldn't happen in transition, in overtime, in Kadri Berry's. I mean, it's just a, you can't go into the locker room and say, like, well, this is what we did wrong. That was just a good hockey play.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's nothing pervasively wrong with the team. And at that stage, in that atmosphere, I don't want my guys thinking that there's something wrong with the system this far in the game. It's, you just, you know, you fuck it. It wasn't our fault. You know, if that's the route you want to go and move on, whatever gets your team to move the fuck on as quickly as possible is what I want.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's a good point. As the leader of the group of guys, you got to keep their spirits high.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting, though. There was someone caught a picture, and when there's six Avalanche on the ice, there's seven Tampa Bay Lightning.
Right.
So, you know, be careful what you bring up.
Sure. And, you know, to John Cooper's point, extend the series, they did. On the 24th, the games, or the series goes back to Colorado, Tampa Bay with a 3-2 win. This game was just absolute mayhem. The barn in Colorado was so fucking loud. You know, I often say that, like, the DC home crowd is unmatchable. But here, man, I mean, I would venture to say that Colorado was louder.
Yeah, man, they were hungry for this. I mean, I know it's not like the Caps or the Blues getting their first ever, but, you know, when you get a team who has instant success, two cups in the first, you know, 6-7 years, and then just goes to shit, and then you have to wait another 20 years. For a lot of those fans, you know, that last cup is just something they hear about, really.
Yeah, or don't even remember.
Right. So, you know, I think getting the chance to clinch at home, really brought out the wildness.
But, yeah, and so this game was back and forth. The Avs were down late in the third. The crowd did jinx it, I think, with the "We want the cup" chance for sure. Probably, you know, I was waiting for it to happen. Like, when does that happen? Yeah, it happens probably. It ended up happening midway through the third period. And the fans looked like they were going to get what they wanted with a game-tying goal, with a lucky bounce off of I think it was off like a skate or off of an ass or something, into the net by the Colorado Avalanche. But with 6 minutes left, Andre Palat buries, and I mean, this passing play had the Avs spinning in place, and takes the win right out of Colorado's hand. Nobody led by more than one the entire game. So, you know, Andre Palat, this guy has been a big part of Tampa Bay, and, you know, we've got 12 game-winning goals in the playoffs. So that's a franchise record, probably by a pretty wide margin. You have to look that up to know that that's probably a pretty big margin for Andre Palat there. Coming up on free agency, you know, I'd love the Caps to maybe, you know, because the Caps are going to be looking for veterans, right, in this offseason. He might be worth a look.
Yeah, and the Caps are going to have room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, ostensibly speaking, they probably will have some room with the Backstrom injury. So, Tampa Bay, down by one game in the series, Colorado leading 3-2. June 26th, Colorado goes back to Tampa and ends up taking the game 2-1. I didn't get to watch this game. You said you did. Why don't you take us through what happened?
Yeah. Okay. you know, so first goal of the game was probably something. Well, before we get to that, Nathan MacKinnon had two really good chances, like the first 20 seconds of the game.
So they came out hot.
Yeah. I mean, they get the puck in, and then he's on his offside, and it looks like he's going to beat Vasilevsky twice, and Vasi makes both saves. And then we go to the other end of the ice. I can't remember if it was the same shift or a minute or two later, but Cale Makar, doing what Cale Makar does, tries to skate through people in front of the net. This time, it didn't work out. Coughs it up. They get a good bounce. Goes right onto Stamkos' stick, and he beats Kemper 5-hole. Crowd's going nuts. It looks not great from the Colorado perspective.
Yeah.
But MacKinnon got them on the board early in the second when he finally did beat Vasi on the short side. And there was some controversy because there was a delayed call on the play, and Cooper was arguing that they had touched the puck. After review, it had showed that he touched the puck before the referee's arm had gone up. So, you know, that's in slow motion. Put that into real-life speed with a real-life person. The referee who's making the call isn't watching the puck. He's right. Watching the guy who just committed the penalty. So, I think it was kind of, I mean, like you said, I get why Cooper is fighting for it, because you're trying to win the cup. But as an Avalanche fan, I was glad he didn't get his way, because I thought it was a really dumb, if they had overturned it, it would have been dumb.
Well, so, like, what should happen there is, like, once the infraction takes place, the next possession by the opposite team, regardless of whether the ref's hand's up or not, should blow the play dead. Like, because I don't know how – I didn't know this. So how close was it?
It was very close.
It was almost simultaneous.
Yeah. So you got one ref who's looking at the puck and one ref who sees the infraction.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as it all happened so quickly, you know, as a ref you're thinking – I got my hand up. I'm calling it when it happens. You know, I've been a ref, not at the NHL, but sometimes it takes a second for your brain to register that it's a call. And then once you've made that decision, now you're looking for the next touch.
Right.
You're not thinking, he touched the puck when I was thinking about it.
Right.
You're thinking, next time I see someone touch the puck.
Yeah, interesting. And it sounds like this play was crazy. Like, it was just like a pinball.
Yeah.
And that's what... And, of course, I didn't watch this play, but, you know, if possession is different from just, like, it touching you, right? You have to possess the puck, which means, like, you should have at least the puck in a position where you have control of it, completely control of it.
Yeah. I mean, he kind of, like, scooped it away. He didn't, like, handle it.
Right. Well, if he made a play on the puck, that would still be considered possession, but like you said, if the infraction in him, like, scooping the puck happened simultaneously, then you can't blow the play dead there, which is right. What it sounds like kind of happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, hey, lots of things to be bitching about in this situation, right?
And then the Stanley Cup clinching goal was scored by Lehkonen. Guess who? I mean, he got them to the final. He got Montreal to the final last year. You know, he's coming down. I think they had a 3-on-1 or a 3-on-2. And MacKinnon or someone else shot it. Rebound came to Lehkonen. And he went topside, far side. Beauty of a goal. It was great. Really great. Nice to see one of the, you know, someone who wasn't like the star to do it. So, you know, going to the end of the second period, it's 2-1 Avs. The Avs dominated the third period.
Yeah. So just shutting the door on like a certain team in DC that couldn't.
Yeah. Tampa only got 4 shots on net in the third period. I mean, the majority of the game was played on the Tampa side of the red line. Didn't make it still not nerve-wracking.
Sure.
Because Kucherov had a really good look in the third period.
Yeah.
And Kemper stood to the task. And the Avalanche won Stanley Cup.
Crazy, man. So congrats again to the Avalanche for winning the Stanley Cup. It's fucking wild. They finally did it. And, I mean, geez, you've liked the Avs for a long time. I mean, there were some dark years leading up to this. I mean, the Avs that won for a couple seasons were far and away the worst team in the NHL.
Yeah, they were. I mean, that's how they got draft picks like Nathan MacKinnon, Gabriel Landeskog, Cale Makar.
Right.
I mean, that's how they built their team, was drafting studs when they sucked.
And they had to. And, you know, speaking of, like, all of the moves that the Colorado Avalanche did this season, this offseason, I mean, Lehkonen was a deadline acquisition.
Yeah.
Which, he was one of the highest touted. There were a lot of, I mean, he was being thrown around with the Caps and everybody else. I mean, a lot of teams wanted Lehkonen on. Ends up, the Colorado Avalanche, you know, basically did what it takes to get him. So, you know, congratulations to them from ownership on down. They really went for it this year. Not that they weren't in previous years, but, you know, it takes those times for those teams to get over the hump, and what a way they did it by beating the back-to-back Stanley Cup champions in the finals.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, I think it makes it a little sweeter. You know, you really feel like you earned it. You dethroned the champs.
Right.
And just some notes on some significant things of the Avalanche. Cale Makar won the Conn Smythe, 29 points. It was 21 assists. He's the third D-man to win the Norris and Conn Smythe in history. The other two, not a big deal. Bobby Orr and Nicklas Lidström.
Yeah, ever heard of those guys?
Makar finished the playoffs with more points than all but 3 defensemen in NHL history. And those were Paul Coffey, Brian Leetch, and Al MacInnis. So, you know, pretty good.
Yeah, not bad company to be sharing there for young Cale Makar, who's like, what, 23 or something?
He's 23, and at this point on his resume, he has the Hobie Baker Award, Calder Trophy, Norris Trophy, Conn Smythe, Stanley Cup. So he's got 4 prestigious MVP awards, and then the Stanley Cup.
Yeah. Dude's a world beater. You know, you hope when guys get like this success so young that they have a good career afterwards, but this kid seems to like be humble, has good head on his shoulders.
I think
Cale Makar stan over here for real.
Yeah. Cale Mastar, as Anson Carter called him.
Cale Mastar, yeah.
He what was I gonna say? I lost it. I don't know. I lost it. Jared Bednar is the first coach to win the Kelly, Calder, and Stanley Cups.
Little Jay Beagle of the coaching world.
Yeah, he also won it as a player, I believe, the Kelly Cup.
Okay.
What I was going to say, Cale Makar, I think, behind McDavid, and maybe even worth having a debate, most dominant player in the NHL.
This whole, like, gotta be nominated 5 times before you win a Norris Trophy
is
out the fucking window. Because, look, Victor Hedman's the man, don't get me wrong. But, like, at the same time, Cale Makar definitely earned it this year.
Yeah.
He showed it in the playoffs, just like Adam Fox did last year. So, passing the torch there.
I think what Cale Makar has that no other defensemen have is that he is putting up points with the best of them.
Right.
But then also, he plays physical in the defensive zone.
Mm-hmm.
And he is, I mean, he can play a shutdown game and still rack up points.
Yeah, no NHL defenseman makes it into the show without being able to do that. You know, elite or not, or offensive defenseman or not, you have to be able to play D. and as much as, like, people want to shit on John Carlson for being so offensively talented.
Turntables.
Exactly, right. So, obviously, the offensive talent in Fox and McCarr definitely has come out, like, early for these guys. You know, I think that, like you said, it's definitely more crazy that that he's doing it like this, you know, so young.
Yeah, and I heard some people say he's like Bobby Orr, and I think he, from what I've heard and read and seen highlights of Bobby Orr, I mean, I think it's a fair comparison.
Yeah, and I mean, Bobby Orr really revolutionized the position as well.
He was
well.
Kind of like the first.
Imagine that.
You know. Well, I mean, that's pretty much how we played defense growing up.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Like, you know, you get it in deep, you know, get to the red line, get it in deep.
If you're lucky, they pass it to you at the point.
Right. Exactly. But now, you know, the high cycle and things like that are so prevalent that the defensemen have to be so multifaceted in today's NHL. So, and that's why they make the big bucks, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, I'm looking at some players on this series, and I would love the Caps maybe to take a look at Nichushkin and Palat, either one. I loved Nichushkin's play. He was so clutch. He's a big motherfucker. He's not afraid of contact, but he plays like that nice grind style. And, I mean, man, was he a terror on the forecheck for the Colorado Avalanche. And then, you know, you have Andre Palat, who's just, he's Andre Palat. He's a workhorse out there, but he also has some pretty elite finishing ability. And same with both these guys. I mean, I feel like that's a really good injection of play style.
Would also fit in the Washington system.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, you know, the one thing, though, is that anybody who gets these guys is going to have to pay that Stanley Cup tax.
Yep.
So they've all increased their stock. Somebody's going to pay them next year, that's for sure. So maybe it won't be the Caps, but, you know, it's definitely interesting to see. And, of course, these guys were showcased in the highest moments, so maybe they're dog shit next year. Who knows? But
what do you think the unlikely shelf life is on Stanley Cup tax? 5 years? Or three?
You know, I think it's – you're going to pay the – I think it – drops exponentially after the first year. So, like, so Palat, Nichushkin, Kadri, they're all going to be UFAs. If they can't sign with the Colorado Avalanche, I mean, Kadri's already out here talking shit. Like, I've shown my worth.
Yeah.
You know, imagine what happens when you just, like, keep your cool and don't fucking destroy someone from behind.
Yeah.
You know, which he's done more often than won cups, that's for sure.
Yeah.
so, you know, I mean, I would say that you get to add 2 years and $1 million per year when you win the cup. Just flying off the cuff. So I believe that the Washington Capitals will look elsewhere because they have some cap, but they don't have, you know, funny money like Montreal or like, you know, Arizona or, you know, even maybe even, like, the Jets. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they don't have a ton of money, but they've got enough to make some moves. So it'll be interesting to see what the Washington Capitals do in the offseason. But speaking of making moves, DraftKings Sportsbook. The action never ends at DraftKings Sportsbook, especially this summer. With tons of ways to bet on your favorite sports, you can fuel your fandom and feel the heat of the season like never before. Plus, right now, DraftKings Sportsbook is giving customers a risk-free bet up to $1,000. That's right. Make your first bet up to $1,000, and if it doesn't win, you'll get another shot to cash it in. You can throw down on all the major action for baseball, golf, MMA, and more. Plus, with same-game parlays, spreads, money lines, over-unders, and props, your betting options feel endless. Best of all, DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. You can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Just tons of upcoming games that you can be, you know, baseball's in the doldrums of baseball right now.
Yeah.
In, you know, first quarter of the season. You've got tons of MMA stuff heating up, so Caps fans, take a look at this stuff for sure. Download DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN. Make your first deposit and get a risk-free bet up to $1,000. That's promo code THPN only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Minimum age and eligibility restriction apply. See show notes for details.
You know what else is kicking up?
What?
The World Cup.
Oh, yeah. Are you excited?
You know, I haven't followed much. I have seen that there were some qualifiers happening. I think they're still playing their regional tournaments. So, okay. You know, the Euro Cup and stuff.
Is this and this is the one that's like every 4 years, is that right?
Yes, okay. It's the same years as the Winter Olympics.
Right. Gotcha.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting. When does that actually, that tournament play? Do you know? Is it, it's yeah, not just, until the winter of this year.
No, it's during the summer.
Oh, really?
I'm looking. oh. Maybe it is in the winter.
Yeah.
Maybe they moved it to the winter because
of COVID.
COVID, yeah.
I'm pretty sure. Because they delayed everything.
Yeah, it starts in 139 days. It's in Qatar. That's gotcha. A country that won't go broke because they have so much money.
Yeah. I'm sorry, you were talking about soccer World Cup.
Yes.
Okay. For some reason, I was like, what's he talking about World Cup? Like, ah, yes, soccer World Cup. Yeah, yes, that'll be awesome. You know, FIFA is just such a fucking organization that... let's go to the hottest place. Well, I think they also had to do it in winter. And I don't know what the seasons are like in Qatar, or Qatar, as I've seen the people are pronouncing it as. I didn't know, or I mean, it's like the hottest place on earth. And they're like using like a bunch of like really shady labor to build this massive soccer complex. So,
well, I know in Qatar they... the citizens have a very good life. The prince has dumped money into the people. The immigrants, not so much.
Right.
And that's probably what they're working on there.
Yeah. yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you're a Qatari, like, citizen, you know, my girlfriend just got her American passport, and I'm like, you know, it's pretty fortunate that us as Americans can have like one of, that's a pretty powerful document when you're traveling abroad, you know,
yeah.
An American passport. You get basically free reign to almost any country ever. But I think a Qatar passport is probably a little bit more powerful because not only do you get that, you probably get like a free Lambo too.
Yeah. Right.
You know, like every citizen in Qatar, like is like a fucking somehow linked to royalty in like oil field or other insane industry that's involved in that. Sort of energy production.
It's probably a very nice place to be born.
Yeah, if your parents are citizens of Qatar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just another note on the World Cup, the 2026 is in North America. And it's going to be shared between Mexico, Canada, and America.
How's that?
I think there's 16 cities, and it's, I think maybe Toronto, Vancouver, Mexico City, maybe Guadalajara, and then the rest are in America.
So instead of, so everyone's traveling to each location?
Yeah, well, I'm sure each group will have, you know, their area right. to play. So
instead of... So, like, in a nation like Qatar, it has, like, no massive soccer stadium, or at least they want to build another one. Instead of having to build one, they would just use existing facilities in 2026.
Oh, I'm sure they will. Yeah.
makes sense. I mean, it's super expensive to build that type of shit.
Yeah.
So, interesting. Well, I mean, that's probably the only soccer event I ever watch.
Yeah. Same.
And of course, I'll be rooting for the USA.
Absolutely.
Right. All right, back to hockey. Let's talk about some coaching changes. It's been quite the revolving door this offseason. You know, coming up on the end of the season, there was just a glut of coaches that were either fired during the playoffs, you know, because their team didn't perform, or fired for conceivably no reason, like in Barry Trotz's case. And, you know, so let's just get through it. There has been some signings. The most notable here, and this is another weird one, Paul Maurice was hired as coach of the Florida Panthers. So Andrew Brunette is out on his ass after taking the Florida Panthers to the Eastern Conference Finals and getting swept. He gets swept.
Oh, no, but, second round.
Or, I'm sorry, yeah, the second round.
But he did win the President's Trophy.
Right, he won the President's Trophy. My bad. Swept right after doing away with the Washington Capitals.
The franchise's first round win, I think, since the year they lost the cup.
Right.
Those are some pretty big milestones.
Yeah. And I can't believe that they did that to him. I don't know. I thought, shit, this is a guy on the come. Keep in mind, though, this is the guy that took over after Joel Quenneville was rightfully let go. After, you know, the sexual abuse scandal from Chicago. So, I don't know. Maybe it just didn't, I don't know. I thought Brunette played very, or coached his team very well against the Washington Capitals. But they just ran into the buzzsaw of Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they just literally, Tampa Bay just came out from like a knockdown, dragout fight against Toronto. They were firing on all cylinders. You know, had gotten hit in the mouth, woke up, and the next thing that they saw was Florida, and it was just like Florida was just outclassed.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting. Paul Maurice, you know, we were talking, he may take a year off. That is not the case. He's now in Florida, enjoying the much better weather than in Winnipeg. It's probably still snowing in Winnipeg right now. Barry Trotz has reportedly, and I'm not sure if this is even real, but he has reportedly said he's going to take a year off and be with family. Kind of, I guess, reevaluate his career and shit. I definitely don't think he's done being a head coach in the NHL, and I think that as soon as he wants to come back in, somebody's going to drop a shitload of money on him. Philly reportedly offered him $7 million a year for, like, multiple years. I think it was four.
Yeah, he said no.
He said nah. Wow. That would have been a record for sure for a head coach salary. Good for Barry.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's really hard for me to say anything negative about a guy who won my franchise's first cup. Maybe he's thinking he should come back to D.C. at some point. He's just taking a year off, see what Lavi does, if he hangs himself or not.
Well, if Lavi gets fired, I'd love to see Barry come back.
Yeah. But, you know, I don't know. I feel like that bridge is a bit burnt with him and Leonsis.
Yeah, probably.
You know, you wouldn't pay me the first time, but now, after realizing you were wrong, you're coming back to me. I would need, like, some serious groveling to be done by the owner.
Yeah.
But that's just me. I'm a spiteful motherfucker.
Kiss his bald head on TV.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Derek Lalonde is now the head coach of Detroit. I thought that was where Barry Trotz was going to land.
Yeah, you had said that a few times.
Yeah. I just thought it would have been a good thing to work with Stevie Y and get a team kind of who has a lot of promise up. But, you know, in hindsight, looking at it, Barry's always been saying that the NHL is not a developmental league. He doesn't want to babysit, basically.
Yeah.
So he wants the stable full of studs there for him. And then he can put in culture and a winning game plan. Derek Lalonde was a assistant coach for Tampa Bay. So, good to see him get a shot. Jim Montgomery, who only a year ago took a leave of absence and step down as the Stars head coach to get himself into a recovery program regarding alcohol. And he's already back in a head coach position for Boston. So Boston picked up Jim Montgomery. If I'm a Bruins fan, I mean, there's a ton of... you're almost forced to rebuild at this point, that roster. So it looks like Montgomery is going to be the guy that's going to usher them through that. And, I mean, looking at his track record with Dallas, he took a team who wasn't performing very well and kind of moved them into a more relevant spot. So,
absolutely.
Good luck to him. Again, that's someone that I'm like, okay, well, hey, that's something. Bonus goes to Winnipeg. That was the guy who replaced Jim Montgomery in Dallas. So Dallas can't keep a fucking coach.
No.
So he's in there in Winnie. Something kind of interesting. Bob Boner was fired as coach of the San Jose Sharks on Friday. They have not yet named a replacement. He was 67-85 in 23-3 seasons. It's a head scratcher to me. San Jose is late to the game with a vacancy. Missed out on all of the top tier guys that we just talked about.
Barry Trotz.
Yeah, missed out on Trotz. Missed out on interviewing everyone.
Maybe Trotz will go there.
Yeah, Tortorella. You know, I mean, who knows? They definitely missed a lot of opportunity here. With basically everybody that we're going to talk about who's placed. Luke Richardson, former assistant coach of the Montreal Canadiens, was hired as the head coach of the Blackhawks, who will replace Derek King. And then finally, on the management side, Don Sweeney will remain Bruins GM for years to come. They extended him. They're happy about it. So, questionable move by Sweeney here to fire Butch Cassidy. And then now he's getting extended. So, I don't know. Maybe Cassidy pissed the wrong people off again.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. I would wonder, you know, because you look at how coaches talk to players, coaches talk to hockey guys, how hockey guys talk to each other. I would just love to hear some of the arguments that the head coaches have with the GMs.
Yeah. That'd be fun.
Yeah. It can't be clean. It cannot be for PG. It's rated R. Yeah. At the very minimum.
Yeah. NC-17.
Right. Yeah. XXX rating just on language alone. I would love to see that type of meltdown happen. But at the end of the day, you know, of course, everybody's going to say business is business and they're going to move on however they see fit. I do think that, you know, being a head coach that's in the on the shit list of a GM is an incredibly precarious place to be, especially in the NHL, because those motherfuckers have no remorse. They, you know, you're either the solution to the problem or the problem.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's, never mind. I was gonna make a not good joke.
Okay. All right, so, and you know, Cassidy, who did he get picked up by?
You go to Vegas?
Yeah, he's already in Vegas. So, like, this dude, on paper, went to a much better team. And, again, on paper. Fuck the Vegas Knights, but...
I feel like with Vegas, or with Cassidy, all these NHL teams are like, I can fix him.
And, hey, look, you know, obviously... I've got a poster of Cassidy right here to my right. He's got hair in this poster. This was back when Randy Carlyle fucking coached the Washington Capitals. Jaromir Jagr. I mean, all of the legends of you know, Jeff Halpern. We've got Gaunch on here. Kelly Johansson. Brendan Witt. You know, I mean, just a... That was a pretty, you know, Ole Kolzig. That goes even without saying. I really like that poster, and I never really liked it until like I got older. But because this 2002-2003 team was full of potential and did nothing.
Yeah.
You know, we got Jagr. Everything was like supposed to be amazing. Was not amazing.
Yeah. That was a bust.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, moving on, though, trades and transactions, there's been a few. Craig Anderson, your boy, Pauly.
Oh, Craig.
Staying relevant with a $1.5 million one-year contract with Buffalo at 41 years of age. I mean, hey, man, this guy can't ask for a better end to his career right now. You know, this may be his last contract or second-to-last contract, but 1.5 mil to, you know, at 41, kick it with the boys. Unfortunately, it's in Buffalo, so, you know, there's... There's that, but he thinks he's got a lot left in the tank, and he earned 17 wins with Buffalo last year. I mean, on that squad, you can't fucking ask for much better from a goaltender.
Yeah.
You know, let's be honest.
I mean, playing hockey is better than not playing hockey.
Absolutely. No doubt. Fiala ended up traded to the Kings and signed for 7 years, like immediately at $8 million per. A first-round pick and captain of the University of Minnesota, Brock Faber, prospect to Minnesota. That's a flip. I mean, that I think both teams got really good deals out of this. And L.A., who was a bit of a surprise even making the playoffs this year, seeing them in the postseason, maybe closer than I think the rest of the league is giving them credit for, and this is a huge piece to add. I think, I mean, Fiala's the man.
Yeah, I think this will be a big boost to that roster, and maybe they'll pick up where they left off.
They could. I mean, they're definitely trying to build the team in a little bit of a different way when compared to the Sutter years, where they were just, like, so good defensively, and then the offense just found a way. Here it seems like they're trying to get a little bit more front-loaded on the offensive side, but still keeping a solid backstop and Jonathan Quick along with a good defensive core.
Yeah, they'll be interesting to watch.
No doubt. So they've shown their hand a little bit as to what their plans are, and it definitely revolves around Fiala for the next 7 years. Lightning traded Ryan McDonagh to Nashville for Philip Myers and Grant Mishmash. McDonagh has 4 years left on his 7-year deal. That must have been very recent, huh? It probably broke like yesterday.
Sunday the 3rd.
Crazy. So, I don't know. Ryan McDonagh still relevant. I thought he might have been done for after he left the Rangers.
And then he went and got a couple cups.
Yeah, exactly. He is expensive, though, and he's an older guy. So, and I believe it was McDonagh who got burned on that Kadri goal.
I think it was.
So, you know, who knows? I'm sure that didn't play much of a... I'm sure it was more of a business deal than anything else there, trying to clear cap space.
Yeah.
But speaking of the Tampa Bay Lightning, Nick Paul was locked in for 7 years with the Lightning at about $3 million a year. That's a nice raise and term for a player like Nick Paul who, you know, he came out of nowhere. He was a good guy. He was a good player in Ottawa, but was on Ottawa, so you never hear about anyone outside of the Kachuk, out of the fucking club.
Yeah.
So, good for him. $21 million. Definitely locked in.
Yeah, he was a pain in the ass to watch to play against.
Absolutely. Brock Boeser, or Boeser. Is it Boeser?
I think it's Boeser.
Okay, Boeser. 3 years, $6.65 million extended with Vancouver. He'll be there. I think that, duh. I mean, that was a no-brainer. Not terrible money either. I think that this is basically the... All right. Here's a bone. Prove yourself and get a raise for the next contract, which will probably be for a longer term somewhere.
Yeah.
Some somewhat sad news. Datsyuk retires after 26 pro hockey seasons. One of the best to ever lace him up, for sure. They call him the Magic Man for a reason.
Yeah. For all you kids out there, he was the hands guy before Patrick Kane.
Yeah. Yep. And I mean, I think he won a Selkie, didn't he? Possibly
maybe.
Once. He was his big claim to fame is that he not only had insane hands and puck handling ability and was an amazing elite player, but you know, it took him quite a while. I mean, he didn't really get going until his, you know, 28 when he, until he was like 27, 28.
he didn't win
his 30s.
He,
oh, he never
he
won.
He didn't
a Selkie.
Win one. He won
okay.
three.
He won three?
Three in a row.
Won three Selkies, yeah.
And
turnover king. This dude would just hound you till you gave it up.
He won the 2 years that they exchanged rings with the Penguins,
mm-hmm.
and then the year after.
Yeah. So that's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
For sure. He's probably already in, let's be honest, because he retired a few years ago.
Yeah.
And just keeping it on the Russian vibe... Crazy story. Have you seen this at all, Paulie?
No, I didn't see until I read the outline.
Yeah, so Russian stud goalie Ivan Fedotov signed a 1-year deal with the Flyers. They drafted him back in 2015, but he was already an established stud in the KHL, so he stayed, a la Evgeny Kuznetsov. The Russian cops picked him up for evading military service. I guess word got out that he's going to the United States to play for Philly.
They were probably cool with it as long as he was still there.
Right, exactly. And then he immediately fell ill. They said it was like maybe stress-induced or something because he got arrested. I mean, and was taken to jail. And he immediately fell ill. So like within a 24-hour span, basically, this dude is getting ready for the NHL. And in 24 hours, gets arrested, falls incredibly ill, and is, like, bedridden in a fucking hospital right now. He's, I mean, like I said, he's a stud. He won a silver medal in Beijing with the Athletes of Russia. He was drafted in 2015. He also won the Gagarin Cup last season. It just seems mad sketch. Like, interestingly enough, the NHL has severed ties with Russia, but it hasn't banned the players. So, like... Nothing's happening between the NHL and Russia right now, like as far as official business goes, anything like that, because of their invasion of the Ukraine. But the NHL hasn't actually banned Russian players from competing in the NHL, which would be, I'm going to be honest, pretty unfair. Not just because I'm biased and want to see Ovechkin break Gretzky's record, but I just think that's like, why are you punishing these players who, you know, by even, here's another example, is to like, you know, if this is something that like the KGB is out here poisoning this guy for trying to prevent him or scare him from coming to the United States while this fucking country's waging a full-on war, it just goes to show you, you know, nobody's safe in this country.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I mean, this is not, you know, of course... We're over here thinking worst possible scenario, but this happens a, like more than this happened a lot. I mean, Fedorov came to the United States in the trunk of a fucking car. Sergei Fedorov, ex-cat. There, I mean, if you don't know who Fedorov is, like, go fuck yourself. But you know, and that was like as early as like the, you know, 90s, 2000s.
Yeah, that was. Just after the fall of the Soviet Union.
Right. So obviously things have calmed down, but this is not out of the realm of possibilities within somebody's lifetime, you know, to have seen this type of sketch stuff. There was constant chatter about Jaromir Jagr when he went to play for the KHL after he left. Because, you know, he took Jagr during the lockout, spent an extra year in the KHL, and people were like, is he even going to be able to come back? There was, you know, rumors mostly, but there was legitimate... concerned to see if Jaromir fucking Jagr, one of the greatest hockey players to ever live, would be able to return to the NHL because he'd signed a contract with the KHL.
Yeah. And meanwhile, Brittany Griner is still being held in Russia.
What?
Brittany Griner, she's a WNBA player.
Played
in Russia.
Right.
For the summer. And... they found marijuana contraband.
Yeah, that's right.
And I think they extended her court date, and she's still there.
Jesus. Yeah, so, you know.
So that's an American citizen they're doing it to. Imagine right. what they do to their own.
Yeah. It's sketchy. I mean, you know, you're looking at a country where it's illegal to be gay. Like, you know, not only do you risk social malice from that, but, like, you can be literally arrested for, like, kissing somebody of the same sex on the street.
Yeah.
Arrested. And I saw a TikTok about it, and it was, like, the minimum that you would get off is, like, a $500 fine and charges. But could also be, like, fucking going to the gulag and getting lost there for X amount of years and possibly killed.
What a fun place.
You know, it's crazy. There's a lot of, you know, Russia is an incredibly interesting country with a rich history, but in the way that it's set today, it's a goddamn shit show. And, you know, not to get all crazy to history, but I mean, this is typical of what you see with dictatorships that continue beyond, you know, the longer that they go, the more ridiculous it gets.
Yeah.
So, you know, good luck, Ivan Fedotov. I've never heard of you until this story broke. Of course, the Flyers are trying to really turn things around. They're in full rebuild mode. They just signed Torts. This would be a great guy to build a team around.
Yeah. He's won some big games.
Yeah, and Olympic silver. You're looking at a KHL championship, and I believe he's only like in his 20s, mid-20s. I think he's 25-ish.
That sucks.
Yeah. So, interesting stuff. We'll see how that pans out. Let's go on to the awards here. Man, we got a lot. We had a lot for this. This is going to be a pretty long epi. Caps fans, you're welcome. What do we got on the awards front there, Paulie?
Yeah, so just FYI, I think you can watch the replay of the award show hosted by Kenan Thompson on ESPN Plus. Austin Matthews took home both MVPs, Ted Lindsay, which is voted on by the players, and the Hart, which is the older, more traditional MVP.
Voted on by the hockey writers.
Right. Cale Makar won the Norris. We already talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
The Vezina, no surprise, went to Shesterkin.
Yeah.
And the Calder went to your pick.
Yeah.
Moritz Seider up in Detroit. And he, his acceptance speech was, my parents aren't here. They just got back from Croatia, and they thought it was more important to go on vacation.
Holy fuck, that's hilarious, dude. I mean, and he's German, so, isn't he? Moritz Seider?
I'll double check. I mean, it sounds German.
Yeah, I think he's a German national. It's an incredibly German thing to do. So
yeah, he's German.
Yeah, I like him. I think he's going to be the future of that club. I think that I didn't get to watch him a lot, but the replays that I saw, obviously floating around the internet, were amazing. Dude's a big motherfucker, and definitely has the finishing ability to go with it. So, you know, love to see the defenseman get some love here.
Yeah, I mean, I know Cale Makar got the Calder, but usually it's a guy like Trevor Zegras that gets it.
Exactly, right. And I'm just so happy Zegras didn't get that.
Yeah, yeah. You and your hate for Zegras.
I don't hate this kid. I just think that his face is just, like, super punchable. That's all.
You're going to love him when he's wearing the red, white, and blue.
Absolutely, I'll love him. I mean, he's got all the swagger of an American douchebag kid, and I love it. But, like, at the same time, I would punch him in the face as well.
Yeah, he's you.
It's very much like a love-hate relationship with that kid. Undeniable talent, don't get me wrong. Good hockey player. But, yeah. Congratulations to all the award winners. Let's move on to some injuries. You know, this is always an incredible time, the injury report that comes out for all teams. But most of all, the ones who made it to the end, played through the Stanley Cup final, and then it's like, well, how fucked up were you? And then a lot of them are just like, oh, you know, just missing a couple limbs, yeah. You know, not bad. Some non-final injuries. Anthony DeClaire will be out for the start of the next season for the Florida Panthers. He had a surgery to repair his Achilles tendon injury. That is an incredibly hard injury to come back from. The most recent being that I can remember, a big one, was Erik Karlsson. Mm-hmm. Matt Cook, scumbag, sliced him. I mean, you know. It always just gets me when Penguins fans talk about Matt Cook changed his game around, and Matt Cook is, you know, that's ex-cap Matt Cook as well, you know. You know, Matt Cook, he was a dirty player, and you know, Penguins fans, just through their bitching, changed his game. You know, why can't Tom Wilson? And it's like, first of all, like, Matt Cook and Tom Wilson should never be uttered in the same fucking paragraph, much less a sentence. They are not even close to being the same player. Matt Cook was a professional shit bum. I mean, let's be honest. You know, Matt Cook probably beat the fuck out of me if he heard this, but, like, he won't, because why would he? But, yeah. Like, you know, Matt Cook was not there to contribute in really many other ways than punishing hits and shit disturbing.
Yeah, some grinding.
Yeah, he was a grinder, career grinder. Well, Tom Wilson is a first liner in the NHL. So let's just start there. And I've never seen Tom Wilson lose his temper to the point of trying to fucking slice someone with their skate. I mean, that never even, like, comes into my, no matter how mad I am.
Yeah. I mean, that's assault with a deadly weapon.
Yeah. Like, I'm not going to fucking hit you with, plus, like, who the fuck does that? Like, I'm going to kick you on the ice like that? I don't know. Whatever. Scumbag move. But all that weird tangent was to say that Anthony DeClaire did not have that injury happen to him, but it is a really tough injury to come back from. It took Erik Karlsson years to return to his, you know, even comparable to his former glory. So wish Anthony DeClaire the best. I mean, I think that guy's shown a lot of potential. He's bounced around a lot of different teams and had a kind of a bad rap, but it seems like he's found a home in Florida, so I'd love to see him be successful there. Who's this next one?
Alexei Tropichenko. He's going to be out. Is that why you had me do it? Because you didn't want to say it?
Yeah.
He's going to be out for the start of the next season for the Blues. He had a shoulder surgery. Not exactly okay. Sure what. Probably right. Rotator cuff.
Yeah, young guy?
I believe so.
Because I've never heard of him. Okay. Now let's get into the good shit of the Stanley Cup final injuries. I mean, fucking hell. Braden Point. If you remember, in the final, he went out in the third round in the conference finals, came back for one game in the cup finals, and just couldn't do it. Significant quad tear. I don't know. Is that a common injury in sports? Quad, your entire quad being ripped? Does that happen in football?
I mean, I don't hear it very often. That's four muscles.
Yeah, I know. Right, like they're the muscles around the largest bone in your body. That's crazy. And we were talking on the pod, or on the before that we started recording, like, how does that even happen? And you think that it was just like a compounding injury and continuing to play on it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, I think it probably started as a pulled muscle.
Yeah.
And he just kept coming through it.
Right. Wild, dude. That's insane to think that you could just work a muscle to the point of it, like, snapping.
Yeah.
I've never been there. Never worked out that hard.
No.
Nikita Kucherov, meniscus problems, likely from that cross-check little play, the hockey troll special there. Just the who was it, Eric Johnson?
No, I think it was Devon Taves.
That's right. Kucherov comes down. You know, this is speculation, but his knee, Devon Taves basically cross-checks straight to the ground, catching his hip, and that side that Kucherov had pointed towards Taves, his knee just kind of collapses and buckles. He's soft getting up, so...
Definitely wasn't pretty.
No. So, yeah, who knows? It doesn't sound like it's going to be a surgery, but lots of PT for that. Pierre-Edouard Bellemare, same thing, meniscus problems.
You know, he used to be on the Avalanche.
Yes.
I think this was his first year in Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
That's got to suck.
Right. And he was also with Philly. The Avs picked him up from Philly, I believe, right?
I think so. And before that, I think he played for Montreal.
Okay, yeah. So he's been bouncing around. He's one of the veterans on that squad.
Yeah. Still no cup.
Yeah. Poor guy. Yep. Anthony Cirelli, AC joint sprain, will need surgery. What's an AC joint?
I think it's in your shoulder.
Okay. Yes, because he has shoulder issues. Absolutely. Ryan McDonough, a mangled finger.
That's fun.
Yeah. Not a broken finger, a fucking mangled one. Awesome. Brandon Hagel, this looked bad. Foot fracture during the series with Florida in the second fucking round. He played through it the entire time. And this guy was out there flying. I don't know what kind of injections and drugs you got to take, but I mean, this dude's basically from the ball, isn't the entire ball of the inside part of his foot. It looked like to be his right foot, like from the front of the arch to the ball of the foot was basically as black as night, and then the fringes were like deep purple.
Mm.
Yeah. Broke his foot. Crazy. Corey Perry, shoulder sprain. Nick Paul, shoulder sprain and sprained MCL. Andre Burakovsky, broken ankle and broken thumb that requires surgery. Nazem Kadri.
He got surgery and came back to play.
Right, with the thumb, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But then he broke his ankle.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Nazem Kadri, multiple breaks in his thumb. He should have been out 6 weeks. Needed trainers to tie his skates for him. Imagine having that hand. I mean, and you know, you look at this and you're like, dude, how is it that you played through that and then had that insane play?
Right.
Like, that's a hands move, dude.
Yeah. For Berkey, I think he broke his ankle first.
Okay.
I think.
And played on it?
I think he got hurt twice blocking a shot.
Jesus.
One was first or second round, and then in the cup.
Wow. Valanciunas, actually, this is the guy that I saw the foot picture of.
Yeah.
Major foot injury, needed medical help putting on a skate for game 6. I mean, I'm sure that, like, if that happens to me, you know, and we've all taken shots off the feet, or you and I, but, like, you take the, it's fine in the skate, and then you take the skate off, and then that's when the fucking blood and nerve endings start to wake up, and you're just like, that kills.
Yeah.
A million times worse. And I'm sure then it just fucking exploded and swelled up.
Yeah.
And then it's a nightmare to me to think about having to put the skate back on.
He probably spent most of the cup when he wasn't playing with his foot in a bag of ice, or a bucket of ice.
Yeah, dude. I would have put the skate and all just fucking...
Don't take it off.
Don't even take the skate off. Just skate in the fucking ice, freeze it, and just see what happens, and then take a bunch of fucking drugs.
Yeah.
I mean,
I imagine for that injury, he probably had to put his foot into an unlaced skate and then lace it.
Yeah, yeah. And then, can you imagine just wrenching that down?
Ugh. No.
God. So yeah, that's the bloodbath of injuries. And, you know, miss me with all that bullshit about why are we glorifying all of these people who are putting their bodies at risk to win? It's like, because they're putting their bodies at risk to win. Like, you're answering your own fucking question there.
Bro, I put my body at risk to win beer league.
Right?
Like, this is an informed decision that a grown-ass adult is making.
Right.
So, like you said, miss me with that bullshit.
I don't get it. I mean, you know, this does add to the badass mythology of hockey because, and you know, I hate to also be like, well, if you've never played hockey, you wouldn't know. But like, if you've never played hockey in a game that has hitting, You know, and you don't even have to play it. I mean, at the high school level isn't intense enough for people to be like, holy fuck. You know, being on the ice is a lot different from watching it from the stands. You know, just the emotions and being there in the moment and then just getting your fucking world rocked by a hit and just, you know, you're there and you're seeing it everywhere. All your boys are taking it too. I mean, you don't really want to be that guy who's not able to contribute and be out there, especially if you're somebody contributing to the team.
Yeah. And it's got to feel better on when you get that cup, knowing that you played through it instead of watching it happen.
Oh yeah, no doubt. You know, I'm sure Nichushkin's not feeling a goddamn thing right now. Nichushkin's not going to feel shit for another fucking week. But like, yeah, I mean, I don't know. And hey, maybe you talk to these guys when they're 60 and 70 and they can't fucking walk right. And they're like, yeah, I would trade the cup. You know, I mean, what the fuck was the guy's name? He had head issues though. Carcillo was like, I would give up all three cups to have, you know, my mental capacity back and shit like that. And I, okay, that's one thing, for sure with the brain injury stuff, but also, you know, I don't know. That's clearly the vocal minority there.
Yeah.
And I you know, I think that when you talk about head injuries and brain damage, it's a completely different thing than like, okay, I fucked my foot up really bad.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I definitely think brain injuries are much more severe. But you know, these you know, you got 2 feet. You don't need them both.
Yeah. Right. That's why we have a backup.
Right, exactly. All right, Capstans, we do have a little bit of wash and wraparound information. We're not going to play the music, even though the music is sick, but just a couple little tidbits about the Caps to cap off the show. Leason and Malenstein signed for 1.5 each for 2 years, so that's a little bit of a pay upgrade for those guys on a little bridge deal. Malenstein's entering his later 20s, so good to see him kind of, he was supposed to get a shot in the roster this year, but he too had an Achilles injury from what I remember, now I'm thinking about it. And I really liked Leason. Dude's a fridge out there. Just a big man. I love that. Can skate, can hit, and he gets to the net. So, I liked watching both of these, guys. I thought Malenstein did really well, 2 years ago. And then I thought Leason did well this year. We talked about it all last year when we had the revolving door of injuries for the Washington Capitals, that the young guys, I mean, McClellan's come out and said, we're really not interested in moving prospects that are NHL ready because we think we have a few of them and they're probably going to get a shot sooner rather than later. We would, though, be willing to bargain just about every draft pick that we have for an acquisition during the free agency trade deadline. So it looks like the Caps like Malenstein and Leason, and they'll probably get a lot more time with the big club, along with some of our other prospects that are pretty promising that we've seen last year in the 22-23 season.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing more of them.
Yeah, I love the youth injected in the lineup. I really do. Emily Ingle Natsky was promoted to video... who was the video coordinator has been like a full-time promoted like a full-time coaching position for the Washington Capitals on Thursday. Make her the first woman to be full-time coach of the NHL. So congratulations to the Washington Capitals for, you know, for, well, mostly to Emily, but like, it's great to see our club, you know, give a lady who deserves it a shot.
Yeah. She's been doing it in Hershey. I think we did a segment on her last year. Maybe the first female NHL hired coach.
Yeah.
But she wasn't full-time because she was Hershey and Washington. And, yeah, now she's...
doing video for the big club.
Yep.
That's awesome. Good for her. So congratulations to her, and awesome to see the Caps making those moves. Caps fans, next, or on Thursday, which will be Polly's final episode, we are going to be talking about Unrivaled. Did you watch that shit yet?
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's talk about that. There's a new pro 3-on-3 kind of pro league that's happening this summer. We'll also be kind of just, you know, jerking jerking Polly off for his time here at the Official Caps Shirt Podcast.
Some member bears.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, Caps fans, thanks for tuning in. We will see you on Thursday. Hockey Show, Polly Cupcakes, signing off.
Bye.
Hey, Caps fans. Thanks for tuning in to the Official Caps Shirt Podcast, repping the greatest team in the NHL. Follow me, the Hockey Troll, at Hockey Trolling on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
And follow me, Polly Cupcakes, at Cupcake Polly on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok.
And follow the show's handle, at Caps Chirp, on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Special thanks to the Hockey Podcast Network, at HockeyPodNet on social, and thehockeypodcastnetwork.com, the Hockey Podcast Network. Every team, everywhere. Check them out, or we're not friends anymore.